Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
Have you ever heard of Thomasville? You may say, well, that's where they make furniture. No, Thomasville is a place. It's a place I made up. And so it's not on any map. But millions of real people live there. You may know of some people who live in Thomasville. You may have once made Thomasville your home. It may still be your home. Thomasville. It's in a land of questions and doubts. Made up of folks who honestly question, who honestly wonder. Oh, they would like to believe, but. Last week, if you'll remember, I spoke about the second coming. And Peter mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3, there would be those scoffers who say, well, where is this coming? So long promised. Everything has gone on just like it always has. Where is it? And so a lot of honest folks, even folks who want to believe, they're not scoffers, they want to believe, also begin to wonder, could it be? Could it be? Well, I named Thomasville Thomasville, because of the apostle. He was nicknamed Doubting Thomas. You've heard of him. It's an unfortunate nickname, as a lot of nicknames tend to be rather unfortunate. It was certainly not a complete picture of Thomas, also called Didymus in the scripture. Thomas was not one-dimensional, you see. He was not just a doubter. He may have doubted. But none of us are one-dimensional. We have many dimensions. In fact, speaking of Thomas, who's nicknamed Doubting Thomas, in John chapter 11... we read about Jesus getting word about his dear friend Lazarus dying. And Jesus says, well, I think we ought to go. I think we need to go back to Judea, where Lazarus and the sisters were. One of the apostles said, oh no, Lord, you remember, you had a lot of trouble back there. They'll stone you, they'll kill you if you go back there. And you know what Thomas said? In John 11, verse 16, then Thomas called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now there's another dimension of Thomas. So when you just think of Thomas being Doubting Thomas, well, you remember John chapter 11. But his name is forever linked to one incident in his life. Again, another great misfortune. How would you like to be named for one incident in your life? And one incident that someone else chooses, not you. How would you like that? Well, I wouldn't like that. I can think of too many incidents in my life that I would like to rub from all memory, including my own. But when something gets written in stone, it's hard to erase. Only the winds and the rains of time can erase those kinds of things. And even 2,000 years later, here we are. It's still visible, this one incident. It's recorded in the 20th chapter of John, beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now, why is that significant? Because this is after the resurrection. After the resurrection. And he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Well, it's an unfair thing that Thomas, based on that one incident, is forever known, at least in our lifetimes, as Doubting Thomas. Because doubts are just part of the human experience. If you have felt somehow unworthy because you have had doubts or serious questions, you need to rethink that. Because the most committed Christians have had their questions. In fact, I believe that faith follows doubt. I believe that is the order. Doubt, questions, faith. Faith is sort of like super glue, Gorilla glue, that's placed on that broken point. And when it comes back together again with that glue, it's stronger than it was before. It may break somewhere else, but not there. I believe that's the way it is with faith. But in spite of questions, and in spite of even doubts, millions find the Christian faith the only solid foundation for life and the only answer for beyond. And many more billions through the ages. Even Thomas, you must read on when you read about Thomas. And as we read on about Thomas, beginning in verse 28 of John 20, After Jesus said, "Stop doubting and believe," Thomas said to him, after he had the opportunity to examine, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And then the Apostle John, the author of this book, feels compelled to say, beginning in verse 30, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." For the next several weeks, I'm going to preach a series that I am calling Thomasville. And they will be lessons intended to fortify and affirm your faith in Christ, in God, in the Bible, in the way of life you are being called to enter and maybe have entered already. And I'm going to make a bold statement here, but I believe it's true. I've thought about it. I've thought about it before I'm making it. It's not off the cuff. And I realize it's a bold statement, but I will stand by it. Christianity is the only faith system that can stand the scrutiny. It's the only one. You are a part of it. If you are a part of Christianity, you are a part of the only faith system that can stand scrutiny. Faith in Jehovah, faith in Christ, faith in this book is not blind faith. We also have been called to put our hands into the side of Jesus and into the holes in his hands. And we do it all the time. We now have the great blessings of archaeology and science and written history. And in a way, that makes us like Thomas. As Jesus says, "Come here, look, feel." We are invited by Jesus. We're not called upon to leave our intellect or our brains at the door when we come to Christ. Again, I say, Christianity is the only faith system that can stand the scrutiny. And I want you to meet two people. I want you to meet C.S. Lewis and Dr. Anthony Flew. Two very interesting men that you need to know if you don't already know them. C.S. Lewis, as one of the great defenders of Christianity, while he was a lecturer at Oxford University in England, the one who wrote the popular Narnia series and other great fantasies that are being followed even today. As a younger man, he was an avowed atheist. And the reason he was is because as a very young child, he lost his mother. He watched her get sick, watched her die. That would be a faith-shattering thing for any young man. It was for him. And then he was called to action in World War I and saw firsthand the horrors of war. War is always horrible, but World War I was especially horrible. He saw it and said what many of us would say, "How could there be a God if he allowed anything like that?" But his great intellect and powers of reason led him to deeper study. You see, his doubts did not end his faith. His doubts compelled him to dig deeper. And that's what he did. And as a result, eventually came to a profound faith in God, has written numerous books that are fantastic. I try to have every book he has ever written. I'm still collecting. C.S. Lewis, maybe even long after his death, he died on the day that Kennedy was assassinated, and so hardly anybody noticed he died. But ever since, just like the one spoken of in Scripture, even though dead, he yet speaks. You need to know C.S. Lewis. Dr. Anthony Flew has been and was called the world's most notorious atheist. And on many occasions, he debated C.S. Lewis. Also at Oxford University. Toward the end of his life, however, Dr. Anthony Flew renounced his atheistic beliefs. That's right. He renounced them. In his last book, and he wrote many, surely many of them on the shelves of many, and many of them still propagating the idea of atheism to many. But in his last book, the title is, There Is a God. There Is a God, written in 2007. He tells how he came to believe. C.S. Lewis, so often an opponent in debate, had made a great impact on his life and his thinking. He is quoted as saying to a former debate opponent that he simply, and I quote, had to go where the evidence leads. Did he become a Christian? No. He continued to deny such things as the afterlife. Many of his beliefs at the end were not Bible-based. But he renounced his lifelong conviction that there is no God because he had to go. He had to go where the evidence led. You see, folks, it's not a matter of having faith or not having faith. Do you realize that? It's not a matter of having faith or not having faith. You're going to have faith. The question is, in what do you have faith? Or in whom do you have faith? You're going to believe and base your life on something or someone. The only question is, in what or in whom? I don't know who said it, but it's a great statement. I don't have the faith, someone said, to not believe in God of the Bible. Oh, that's right. You see, it requires great faith to not see a creator in this marvelous universe. And the mere fact that a person would have doubts indicates an intellect and a depth of thinking that just didn't happen. The mere fact you ask the question in many ways is pointing to a creator who made it possible, who implanted in you reason and thinking. How could it just happen? Oh, I don't have the faith to think it could just happen. Not by a long shot. Design screams out for a designer. That's Paul's point in Romans chapter 1. And anyone, regardless of their degrees behind their name or their intellectual capacities, they are without excuse, intellectually without excuse, to not see in all of this a design and thus a designer. And yet, having said all of that, on some days, or during lonely nights, we have our questions. And though we may not verbalize it, we wonder. Maybe as we see seeming injustice, using the old cliche, man's inhumanity to man. Oh, yeah. Explain that. Or we see innocents suffer. How could it be? Someone mentioned cancer earlier. How could it be that a good God would allow a disease to ravage a human body in such an ugly way? We wonder. So could it all be true? All of this Jesus business, all of this Bible business, all of this miracle business, all of this afterlife business, could it be true? Could it be? Well, I want to shine a light in this series of lessons towards Thomasville. Would you come to Thomasville with me? Over the next several weeks. Would you come yourself? Do you know of anybody who wants to believe but just has trouble believing? Understandably. Maybe you could invite them to come with you. Thomasville. Millions live there. Maybe you've lived there once. Maybe you live there now. But let's go together and let's take the light of God's Word with us and see if it's as ominous as we think. If you're a Christian, or if you are a thinker, one thing, one approach that you cannot take and be intellectually honest, is indifferent to the claims of Christ. Christ, you see, and this is the reason he's hated so, and he is. You can believe in God all you want to, people really don't care. Because he can have so many names. And so it's all right to believe in a God. But when you stand up with Christ, you mark yourself. And he's hated. Why is he hated? Because he compels decision. He compels decision. Don't you think you have any kind of luxury to be indifferent about Christ? If this book is true, it's the most important book with the most important words that have ever been penned. If it's false, throw it out the window and forget it. Don't play the game of coming to church. Don't put yourself through that. You've got to make a decision. So let's go to Thomasville. If you'll come with me, there may be some thoughts that'll help you in your future walk with God.